What does the word justification mean? We're going to get there. I want you to be thinking about it, okay? So you all know this verse, 2 Peter 2, chapter 1, verses 5 and 10. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtuous knowledge. But you know this passage, right? I'm quite sure you've used this passage. I'm going to talk to you about this passage, all right? So here's my question for you today. Are you suffering from a form of spiritual amnesia? Now, I'm going to say that that phrase, spiritual amnesia, I had a conversation with Paul Tripp, and I said, Paul, I'm trying to get at something here. This was before I wrote Because He Loves Me. And he said, Elise, what you're trying to get at is spiritual amnesia. This is his phrase. He told this to me. So here's my question. Are you suffering from a form of spiritual amnesia? So what would spiritual amnesia look like? That even though we believe the gospel, which we do, you certainly wouldn't be here this morning if you didn't believe the gospel. The truth about the incarnation, the sinless life, the substitutionary death, the bodily resurrection and reign of Jesus Christ. You would not be here if you didn't believe that in some form. Even though we believe the gospel and we have saving faith, the places where the gospel intersects with and powerfully affects our daily life is infrequent. Well, wait a minute. What do you mean? Okay, I'm going to tell you. How does John 3:16 impact your heart's responses when you don't receive the coveted invitation? And, you know, I speak a lot with women, so guys, you're going to have to do what women have to do every day when they hear you preach, which is contextualize it to yourself. Some guys are smiling and other guys are like, what? So, how does John 3:16 impact your heart's responses when you don't receive the coveted invitation? You find out that all your friends went out and had coffee and they didn't invite you. Or, guys, you find out that for a pulpit that you were just candidating for, they invited somebody else. Okay? What does John 3:16 mean then? When your children disrespect you in front of friends, you know, your kids come up, and I have three kids and they're marvelous. And when they were little, we went to a church that if they would memorize a verse, I could bring them up to the pastor. And if they said the verse, the pastor would give them money. How cool is that, right? So worked on all sorts of levels. So, you know, I would bring my kids up, my little daughter, Jessica. I would bring her up and say, say John 3:16, honey. You know, and she goes, I hate God. You know that? How do you respond when your children, when something you're hoping will build your identity, will reinforce your identity, will make you feel good about what kind of person you are, how do you feel when that doesn't happen? Does John 3:16 matter to you then? Or what about when you get home from church and you know that there's lovely food cooking all day and you get home, you drive into the garage and you don't smell anything, you know? It's supposed to be cooking, it's not. Guys, when you come home and dinner you thought was going to be ready and it's not. Or you get up in the morning and somebody ate the last bagel. What does John 3:16 mean to you then? Like that. So, my identity is that I've been loved immeasurably by God and have been made one with Him. That identity will continually be contrasted with this statement. My identity and self-worth is determined by whether I am popular, respected, a winner, and well-fed. See, I could say to you, what does John 3:16 say? And you could say it to me. But does it matter when those little niggly things, you know, they're little nothings, they're little mundane whatevers. Does the fact that Jesus Christ lived and died for you, does it mean anything then. So, now here's this passage that I'm sure you know. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Now, there's a list for you. And as biblical counselors, we love lists. They make our life easier. So we decide, we're going to work a month on faith, and we're going to work a month on virtue, and we're going to work a month, you understand. We're missing the point. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Good. None of us want to be ineffective or unfruitful. Catch this. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. What does that phrase, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins, have to do with all that other business there? Here's the deal. That is spiritual amnesia. You've forgotten. And when Peter says that, that's basically shorthand for the entire gospel message. In order for us to grow, we must remember the entire gospel message. So why would it matter? It matters because it will have a direct and concrete impact on your sanctification. Sanctification, I am convinced, grows in response to our apprehension and understanding of what Jesus Christ has already done for us. Once we get to that place where we are beginning really to grapple with and understand what Christ has done for us, then it won't be quite so hard to admit our sin. You ever have trouble admitting your sin? Hello? You know why? Because you're forgetting the gospel. See, here's what the gospel says. You sinned so bad, you had to kill God. So can we just admit that? Now, listen, I know about right now, some of you are getting kind of itchy because you're afraid that what I'm saying is, it's groovy, let's all sin. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you do all sin. And when you finally get to the place where you understand that Jesus Christ lived perfectly in your place and died shamefully in your place and was raised for your justification, when you get to that place, then you can freely come to God and to your neighbor and say, I sinned, forgive me, and not worry about whether or not that's going to crush you. So it matters if we have spiritual amnesia, if we've forgotten the gospel, because Peter writes that one reason we don't grow in ordinary grateful obedience as we should is because we've got amnesia. We have forgotten that we are cleansed from our sins. Okay, I'm going to do something now. I've got really great news for you. Your sins are forgiven. I don't know if in your church you do the absolution. And I go to a Baptist church, so don't get itchy. But, you know, we have a liturgy. And we confess our sins. We have a time of, you know, quiet time of confessing our sins. And that's great, and you should do that. But then doesn't, I need to hear from the voice of a trusted friend, your sins are forgiven. Isn't that great news? Isn't that great news? Brothers and sisters, I'm quite sure that this morning already you have sinned enough to send you to hell. Right? Your sins are forgiven. So get up again and try to do what's right. and that's the only hope you have.